Good morning. I'm the Reverend Jacqueline Sheldon from St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Willimantic, and I am overjoyed to be with you on this third Sunday of Lent. I just want to make a quick announcement to you that if you would be interested in being involved in any of the various Zoom activities that we have going on in our church, you can go to our website. That's stpaulswillimantic.org. That's S-T-P-A-U-L-S, willimantic.org. And everything is there with links. You can just click on anything you're interested in. My weekly sermons are there, and these reflections are there, as well as different classes that you can attend through our church. So, love to see you there. If you have a chance, come and visit us. Let's start with a prayer. A prayer that centers us and stills us, gathers us together through the week that we've had, and quiets our soul to be present to God on this holy day. Be with us, God. Help us to slow down, to hear your word, to be blessed by your spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I have to tell you that I have experienced such an intense revelation over the reading that we have for Sunday that I'm just hoping and praying that the words that I really want to say will come forward, that you might have the joy of this idea that's come to me. So I'm going to start with our reading, and then I'll explain about the revelation. Our reading comes from John's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 13 through 22. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jewish leaders then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again in 3 days." And they replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Amen. So I was in Bible study the other evening, and my dear friend Noni, who is an amazing artist, was reflecting on this gospel story, and we were thinking, what would it have been like to be there? And she said, "I'm settled on watching Jesus make the whip. I'm seeing him looking out over the temple courts and the scenes while he's putting the whip together. And I'm imagining what he's thinking while he's doing that." I had never thought of that scene in that way before. And when Noni said that, all of a sudden, this whole flood of ideas came to me. The idea that Jesus had been to the temple courts many, many times teaching, and this was no unusual practice that they were selling sacrificial animals. That's what they were for, the cattle and the sheep and the doves. They were all for the people who came in to worship in the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. They were there for them to buy so that they could take their sacrificial animal into the priest, and according to the ritual that they were participating in, they could have the sacrifice made in their name and in their presence. So this was common practice, and it had been going on for a long time. I mean, early on, when Israel was journeying from its freedom from Egypt in the desert, they did their sacrifices, you know, on the, where they were, wherever they made camps, they did their sacrifices to God, and they had sacrifices to forgive sins and for thanksgivings and all kinds of different sacrifices to show God how grateful they were and how much they loved God. So this was not some rare thing. And essentially, business had evolved out of the work of their worship, so that this beautiful temple that took 46 years to be made in Jerusalem was the holy sacred place that people traveled to for their most important sacred rituals. And, you know, they came from distances, so they really probably couldn't bring their sacrificial animals with them. So it just became a handy thing to be able to have those animals right there in the outer court that they could buy and bring in for the sacrifice. So it was just a natural thing that they would do. And it was meant for them to be able to fulfill their duty the way God asked them to. And then when it came to the money changers, the situation was that the temple, one of the ideas was that the temple leaders, they did not want the Roman money in their coffers, because the Roman money had the emperor on the coin as God, and they couldn't have an image of an emperor as God in their coin, so they had special temple coins. So what would have to happen is you'd come in order to make your donation to the temple, you'd have to exchange your Roman money for temple money, and then bring that in for your donation. And the point being, of course, the temple, you know, the money changers were making a percentage off that, and the people selling the animals were making money. So it just had become big business. And it wasn't like this was the first time Jesus saw it. He'd seen it many times. But what was special about this day that he did this thing? This was the major feast of the Passover. The Passover was annual, and it was, and it is to this very day, it's the memory of God loving the Israelites and saving them from the oppression of Egypt and setting them free and taking them out so that they could be free from bondage to worship God and to be themselves and have a rich, full life in God's protection. So this was the ritual that Jesus was there for, the Passover. And if you remember the Passover at all, it was when Moses went and talked to the Pharaoh and asked him to set the people free, and the Pharaoh wouldn't do it. So finally, in the end, after long negotiations, what happened was he instructed the people to slaughter the lamb and then put the blood of the lamb over the lintel, the headpost of their doors, so that when the angel of death came to destroy all of the Egyptians so that the Israelites could escape, that God would pass over their houses and just go to the others and destroy them, and then the Israelites could leave. So that's why it was the Passover, because the blood of the lamb was sacrificed, marked the door, and the Israelites could go free. So here's Jesus in the temple, and this is the season that they're in. This is the time that's coming. A Passover feast is about to happen. So it's teeming with people. And we have to ask ourselves, what was Jesus thinking? And why did he do this? And I think Noni's idea that we have to look at, there he was. Did he bring the cords with him? Did he know that he was coming in to do this act before he even got there? And when he stood there with those cords and making them into a whip, who knows how long it took him to do that. But the point is, what was he thinking about while he was making that whip? Well, one thing I think he was thinking about for sure was that he knew that this act that he was to do to disrupt this marketplace was going to seal the deal of his death, that this would not be acceptable to either the leaders of the temple or to the Roman authorities, that he would make this much disruption. It would surely bring him to the cross. We can know that even from the fact that he says to the authorities, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rise it up. He knows that he's going to get killed for what he's done. So here he is in the temple on this day, when people are pretty much doing what they just think they ought to be doing. They're just assuming this is what they should be doing. They don't think they're doing anything wrong. And Jesus comes in to show them how very far off they are and how wrong this approach to God is. And it reminds me of Psalm 19, which is one of our readings as well today. And in the reading of Psalm 19, verses 12 through 14, it says, "Who can tell how often he offends? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So we see that the people in Jesus' time had gotten into presumptuous sin. They were no longer intimate and wondering what God wanted from them. They just presumed that these rituals, the way that they were doing them at the moment, that was what God wanted. That's what they thought. And Jesus, it looks like he knew the pain of our presumptuous sins. How many times we think we know what we're supposed to be doing when in fact it's the farthest thing away from love that we can imagine. We need to remember that you know, the rule of Israel was love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus is making the court, and he sees how confused they are and how they presume this is what God wants them to do. And yet maybe burning in his mind are the words from Psalm 40, which say, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts to the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly." So perhaps Jesus was thinking those words as he made that court, and he knew by what he was doing, by driving out the sacrifice sellers and the money changers, he knew that he was sealing the deal on his own death, but he had to proclaim the love of God for everyone. And so he did. So on that very day, he offered himself as the sacrificial lamb that would, in just a few days after that, be nailed to the cross. How astounding is that? I think for the most part, what this can tell you and me is that we can trust that Jesus will spare nothing to show us where we're off track. And it's out of love that he draws us back into him, love that he draws us back in so that we can walk in the way of joy and freedom and peace because we know the love of God and we know the saving protection of God. So this morning, I hope what I'm sharing with you makes some sense. I hope I'm saying it right, because I'm so thrilled with the idea that Jesus shows us right there in the temple on that day how much God really loves us and seeks after us and will spare nothing to bring us to right thinking. I hope that you have a blessed third week of Lent as you think about God sparing nothing for you to know about love. And I pray that you will let God turn the tables over in your heart. Amen.
Turn over the tables in my heart. Scatter the coins that Caesar claims. Cleanse this holy temple of its money-lending schemes. Let righteous anger fill these courts again. And Lord, send your zealous heart. Tear this sinful one apart. I'm sinking like the house upon the sand. Oh, and build me as a house of prayer, tower free from earthly cares. Oh, set me on the rock where Jesus stands. Oh, please set me on the rock where Jesus stands. In 3 days, the temple was destroyed. Prettier and stronger it now stands. The nail-scarred hands of Jesus built it to be sold. Now he dwells in the hearts of sinful man. Oh, and Lord, send your free. Your promise is the wind under our wings. Rejoice, for the law has been lifted evermore, and the saints are free to dance on that distant golden shore. Oh, and Lord, send your zealous heart, tear this sinful one apart. I'm sinking like a house upon the sand. Oh, and build me as a house of prayer, tower free from earthly cares. Oh, set me on the rock where Jesus stands. Oh, please set me on the rock. On the rock.